Good morning. Well, we're glad we can be here this morning. I have to say, there's some of our younger family members that aren't just always overjoyed about visiting at a neighboring church, but it is always a blessing to be able to interact and to see God at work in our neighboring churches. It's been a blessing to have been here this morning already and seeing God moving and working here. And so, just thankful I could be here to experience that. The message that I've chosen to use this morning, I've entitled Hearing God's Voice. You know, as we study the Word of God, one thing becomes very clear to us, and that is that God actively spoke to His people. From Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to John on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation, God communicated with His followers. I wonder, does God still speak to us today? Does He speak to all believers or just to a select few? And if He does speak, what does His voice sound like? How do we know for sure that it is God speaking? And I suppose we've had those times when we've said, Lord, I'm having a difficult time hearing. Can't you speak a little louder, please? I trust that in all of us here today, there is that deep desire to communicate with God and to hear what He is saying to us today. I believe that if we claim to be followers of God, but we don't know when God is speaking or what He's saying to us, we're in trouble. And so this message this morning is an effort to help us understand how it is that God does communicate with His people today and how we can identify and respond to His voice. It's not nearly an exhaustive message, obviously. God speaks in many ways. I am not one that claims to really have an inside track on hearing God and knowing just exactly what He's saying to me all the time. So this message was born out of my own desire to better understand how God interacts with me and with His people. So I invite you to turn to John chapter 10 this morning. I'd like to read a number of verses out of John 10. Verses 22 through 30. John 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I appreciate this passage. This is a beautiful passage. Jesus dealing with some of the doubters, some of the people that were questioning Him and His ministry and who He was. And this is part of his argument, his defense as to who he really is. But there's a number of things that I'd like to, that particularly stand out to me here in this, from this passage. And I take these out of verses 27 and following, where he says that, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life." True Christians, or sheep as he refers to them here, first of all, hear God's voice. They recognize God's voice. It says they are known of God. Right? I get the picture of a relationship here, a close relationship. They are known of God. And then it says they follow him. Or there's the aspect of obedience, joyful obedience, I take from this. They hear his voice. He knows them. They obey him. And then out of that comes eternal security, or they enjoy eternal security. There is this aspect of basking in the love and strength of our God. Just a brief few words here about eternal security. You know, eternal security is our souls securely in God's hands, in his safekeeping. And there's no outside force or circumstance that can rip us out of his hand. He says here, "My Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." But you know, the only way we can lose that security is by choice. When we choose to turn our backs on God and to walk away from him and disregard his voice, then we eventually forfeit the blessing of eternal life. I'd like to consider briefly here some ways that God has spoken in time past. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 says that God, who at sundry times, or we could say at different times and in divers manners or various manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. It says that God spoke in time past and today has spoken to us by his Son. And we know that through the Holy Spirit that he's given, he also speaks in that way. But as I studied Scripture and considered a number of the ways that God did speak, and this is not an exhaustive list either, but God spoke to his people through angels. I remember the incident of Gideon, where the angel of the Lord came to him and gave him the message that he was to be instrumental in leading Israel to deliverance from Midianite oppression. So he spoke through angels, and he may speak through angels in our time as well. He spoke through visions. Genesis 15, it talks about the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And he proceeded to tell Abraham that he would become the father of a countless multitude of offspring. In Acts 10, God spoke to both Cornelius and Peter through visions, the result of which was the Gentiles also receiving the gospel and the Holy Spirit. Well, God spoke through dreams at times. There was, remember, Jacob on his way to Paddan Aram after receiving the blessing of his father Isaac. And he's sprawled out there on the ground for the night, and he has this dream where there's a ladder reaching from heaven to earth, and there's angels going up and down on this ladder. And at the top of the ladder, the Lord himself speaking to him and pronouncing a blessing on him. That was a dream when God spoke to Jacob. Also in Genesis 40 and 41, in the account of Joseph, where he was in Egypt and God used dreams to foretell future events. The baker and the butler in prison with Joseph had their respective dreams, which Joseph interpreted accurately. And later, Pharaoh has a dream which pointed to the coming famine in Egypt, and once again, Joseph correctly interprets. Well, we may ask, does God still speak through dreams today? I would just say this, that he may do that, but I don't necessarily put stock in all the dreams that I have, or I don't consider them necessarily God speaking to me directly. He may use that. I think we need to be careful that we, in any of these things, when we say God is speaking, that we're not just pulling, that we're looking really hard for God's voice, and we start pulling things in ways that God does not intend, or in ways that he's really not even speaking to us particularly. Well, there were miraculous signs throughout the scriptures that God used to speak to people. There were the plagues in Egypt and how God used those to convey his message. Well, there were the prophets, which we probably most likely think of when we think of God speaking, especially in Old Testament times, how God used the prophets to convey his message to his people. And the seriousness of, in Deuteronomy 18, it talks about that a prophet that was speaking something that was not actually given by God, who was either speaking in the name of false gods or was pulling stuff out of thin air, was to be put to death. It was a serious matter to mislead and to give a message that really wasn't from God. It also says there that a true prophet is confirmed by his prophecies coming true. Well, Moses had his experience with the burning bush, for God spoke to him out of that bush. Balaam had the experience of having God's voice come to him through his animal, his donkey. And there was the audible voice that came to young boy Samuel as he had laid himself down for the night, and he heard a voice speak and didn't know for sure what it was. And God used the older man, the prophet Eli, to help him to understand that this was the voice of God coming to him and how he should respond to that voice. Then we have Elijah in a cave on Mount Horeb, fearing for his life because Jezebel is out to get him, and he hears God speak to him in that still small voice. And you know, my experience has been that God most often speaks to us in that way, through that still small voice, that the Holy Spirit's quiet voice inside us speaking to us, that voice prompting us, those impressions that it gives, the conviction that it brings. I think that while God speaks in many different ways, since the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, he most often communicates to us in that still small voice. And I would just give a personal example of happened fairly recently here. Attended the wedding of Jay and Kayleen out here at Arlington a number of weeks ago. At the wedding reception, the Faith Mission youth were giving a little program. They were singing the song Channels Only, and the words in that song go something like this: Channels only, blessed Master, but with all thy wondrous power flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. As I was taking that in, even earlier in the day, I'd been under conviction, but that still small voice came to me and helped me to realize that there was way too much self in the way for me to be the kind of channel that God's power could flow through and use effectively. And so there in the quietness of my heart, I made a recommitment to God. That was God's voice speaking. The important thing for us is that when we hear that voice, we understand what it's saying to us, that we respond. We respond to it. I'd like to point out a number of factors that were present when God spoke. I should just pause here. I was going to say this earlier, that I do give credit to a number of sources that I used in this study as well. The book Experiencing God by Henry and Richard Blackaby and Claude King. It's a good one. And also the book titled Hearing God's Voice by Vern Heiderbrecht. I would like to give credit there to those two sources. We talked about some of the ways that God spoke, and I'd like to just observe a number of important factors that were present whenever God did speak to his people. And one is that when God spoke, it wasn't always by the same method. He didn't always use burning bushes or speaking donkeys or angels. There was quite a variety of ways that God spoke. You know, Moses didn't say, you know, awesome, I finally had my burning bush experience. All of my forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had theirs, and now it's my turn, and here it finally is. No, there was only one burning bush experience that we know of. The writers of Experiencing God point out that if Balaam, with his desire for wealth, had lived in our day, he could have really cashed in on our formula-driven form of Christianity and written a book, maybe titled something like Donkeys for Dummies, so people could discern when God was speaking to them through donkeys too. I think that God is not nearly as concerned about the method used as he is that we get the message, and that we hear what he wants to communicate, and that we respond. He is primarily concerned about having a relationship with him. And he wants us to seek him for guidance and not some particular method or formula. So when God spoke, it was not always in the same way or the same method. Secondly, those to whom God spoke knew that it was God speaking. It was clear to these people that God had indeed spoken. I referred to the young boy Samuel earlier, and I think in that case, it wasn't clear to him that it was God speaking. And there may be times when it's not evident, especially to younger people, that indeed this is God's voice that they hear. And it may be necessary for parents or other adults to help a child discern God's voice. Just like to say, for you young people, children, God's voice often does come through your parents. They're not perfect, but God does give them special insights that speak into your lives. And I just encourage you to allow them to do that, to be open to hear what they have to say to you. So God didn't always use the same method, and those to whom God spoke usually knew that it was God speaking. The third thing that I'd like to point out is that when God spoke, it was clear to the person what God had said. It is true that Gideon asked for additional confirmation when given a message from the Lord. He needed the assurance that it was indeed God speaking to him, and he wanted to know for sure what God's assignment was for him. But I think generally when God spoke to Bible characters, they knew it was God speaking, and they understood what the message was. And fourthly, maybe as important as any of these, is that those to whom God spoke generally responded in obedience. Now, we know there were some exceptions to that as well. Remember, Jonah had a clear word from the Lord, but he tried to run away from his assignment. Balaam knew what God wanted, but the temptation of riches caused him to try to find a way around God's directions. Moses was reluctant at first, but then finally responded to what God was calling him to. So I think that while it is important that we hear correctly what God is saying to us, it is just as important that we follow through in obedience to what he tells us to do. I believe that God wants joyful, prompt obedience. Well, how can we in this modern time hear God's voice and know for sure that it's God speaking and understand what he's saying? I'd like to just look at three things this morning. There's more that would apply here. But we'd like to look at three things briefly. There's some principles related to hearing God's voice. First of all, there needs to be an intimate relationship with God. In John 8, verse 47, Jesus gives these words where he says, "He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Knowing God's voice is not a matter of following a certain formula or pushing the right buttons. You know, Brother Merle talked about there's a lot of information out there that we can get with the push of a button. But this relationship with God, I think, doesn't come that way necessarily. Being able to recognize God's voice comes as a result of an intimate relationship with him. And this verse that I just read here out of John 8 says that those who do not have that kind of relationship with God will not be able to hear what he is saying. And that is, to me, is a sobering reality. It's just simply saying we cannot expect to hear God's voice if we're disconnected from him. I think that's what Jesus was saying in the verses we read earlier, John 10, 27, where he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." My experience in working with sheep has been that the more familiar the sheep are with me and the more accustomed they are to my voice, the more readily they respond to it. So it's important for us to listen, to carefully listen. I think listening is essential to hearing God's voice. And sometimes we don't hear simply because we don't have the time to listen. Bill Hybels, or Hybels, says, "Any way you cut it, a key ingredient in authentic Christianity is time. Not leftover time, not throwaway time, but quality time. Time for contemplation, meditation, and reflection. Unhurried, uninterrupted time," unquote. I think my experience has been that the biggest hindrance for me in hearing God's voice is just simply not having the time or not taking the time, that unhurried, uninterrupted kind of time where God is able to speak, where I can pray and I can meditate and God can speak to me. We need that. Let's do what it takes to cultivate that kind of intimate relationship with our Lord so that when he speaks, we do recognize his voice. Well, we might ask, how do we know for sure that the voice we hear is indeed God speaking? How can we be sure that what we hear is not the enemy trying to derail us? How do we know that the voice we hear is not just our own wishes or ideas? In John 10, earlier in this chapter that we read from, verses 4 and 5, Jesus says, "The sheep follow him," speaking of the good shepherd, "for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." The more familiar we are with God's voice, the more acquainted we are with his voice, the easier it is for us to identify voices that are not his. And to me, the best way to identify false voices is to be intimately acquainted with the true voice. And I trust that that's what's happening here at Center, is that the voice of God is identifiable because you're familiar with it. You know what it sounds like. As we cultivate that relationship with our Lord and learn to recognize his voice, we'll be able to identify false voices because they don't sound like the Good Shepherd's voice. I think one evidence that the voice we're following is from God is that it will lead us to become more and more Christ-like. We will be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. I think as we see that growth, it indicates that we are hearing from God. But I believe that when we see conformity to the world's fashions and values, or there's conflict in our lives, there's a lack of peace, I think we can conclude that the voice we're heeding is probably not from God. So we need to cultivate an intimate relationship with the Lord if we want to be able to hear his voice. Second thing I'd like for us to consider this morning, we could ask the question in hearing God's voice is it consistent with the Bible? Is it consistent with what Scripture says? If we think we have a word from the Lord, it's important to filter that word through the question, is it consistent with what we have in here? Henry Blackaby says, and I quote, "When God speaks, he does not give us new revelation about himself that contradicts what he has already revealed in Scripture. Rather, God speaks to give application of his word to the specific circumstances of life," unquote. So as we hear God's voice, we're not making an addition to or taking away from Scripture, but rather it is a means of allowing him to apply to our lives what he's already revealed in his word. The Bible does give serious warnings about adding to or taking away from it. So I believe the best place for us to hear God's voice and to find his will for us is in here, in the written word, the revealed word of God. The Bible is the voice of God. An old-time preacher once said, "When you open the Bible, God opens his mouth." I like that. As we get into the Word, it gives God opportunity to speak to us because his message is right here, and he's just waiting for us to receive that message as we get into the Word. A.W. Tozer says, and I quote, "If you would follow on to know the Lord, come at once to the open Bible, expecting it to speak to you. Do not come with the notion that it is a thing which you may push around at your convenience. It is more than a thing. It is a voice, a word, the very word of the living God," unquote. 2 Timothy 3:16, a familiar verse. I'd like to quote it in a different translation than what we normally use. It goes like this: "Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. That is the Word of God. Every part of it is God-breathed and useful. It shows us truth. It exposes our rebellion. It corrects our mistakes. And it trains us to live God's way. Praise God for His Word, His voice given to us. We know that God will never speak against His own words. And so any word that we think we receive from the Lord needs to be consistent with what the Bible says. So we need that close relationship with God. And we need to filter what we hear through the question, is it consistent with what the Bible says? And then the last one that I'd like to give here this morning is, does my church family confirm it? While our faith in Christ is personal, faith is a personal thing, it is lived out in the context of community. It's personal, but it's not independent. It's personal, but it's not necessarily just private. The Lord has designed the church family to bring stability to our walk with Him. And so when we hear a word from the Lord, I think it's wise to allow other mature believers to validate that word. If what we think God is saying to us has that clear ring of truth to it in such a way that those that God has placed around us in the local body here will be able to say, yes, that indeed it is the word of God. It is, there is truth in what you're saying, in what you're perceiving. There's a lot of value in tapping into the wisdom and maturity present in the church body. God often speaks to us through other believers. We're thankful for that. The Holy Spirit does give special insights to our brothers and sisters that are very valuable in helping us know God's will. As I was thinking on this, I was reminded of how it is when in the work we do in the summertime in the produce patch, particularly in picking tomatoes, and how it is that when a person walks down the row of tomatoes and you're picking here from one side of the plant and you pick everything that you think you've picked everything that's ripe on that plant. But when you go around to the other side and you look at it from a different angle, you find, well, here's some more ripe tomatoes that I missed from the other side. And there's times when we pick in tandem, one on each side of the row, and as we go along, we're working from both sides of the plant, and it's not unusual for one to say to the other, over there, I see one over there that you missed. And well, looking at it from my perspective, I couldn't see it. There was foliage in the way, but from the other side of the plant, it was readily noticeable. And so we help each other do a thorough job of picking tomatoes that way. And I liked the picture of how that can relate to us in the body of Christ, how that we help each other, and as we look at things from various angles, we see things that we had missed ourselves. With someone else's insights and angles help us to get a more complete picture of what actually is there. I believe that God does speak to all believers. And I think He wants to speak to us through others, and He wants to speak through us to others. It's a two-way street. The challenge for us, I think, is to be channels through which the Holy Spirit can speak God's message and then also be able to receive the word of the Lord through others. I'd like to bring this to a close here. God does speak to us in many different ways, and we've looked at a number of these this morning. There are other ways that God speaks. He may speak to us through our circumstances. It may be through difficulties. And we see God's, hear God's voice through creation and such. But I think the fact that God Almighty does speak with us is incredible. Like the patriarchs, the prophets, the disciples of long ago, God still communicates with his people today. We have his message in written form. And he's given us the Holy Spirit who speaks to us personally and corporately. I just encourage us to cultivate an intimate relationship with that same God. Let's be sensitive to his voice. He does have a message and a work for every one of us. Let's kneel and pray. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, your goodness. Thank you that down through the ages, you relate to your people, you speak to them. I just pray, Lord, that you would help each one of us here this morning to be in tune with your voice in such a way that we readily identify it and we understand the message that you give us. And most of all, Lord, you'd give us the courage to follow through in obedience with what you would have for us. I pray, Lord, that as we are acquainted with you and your voice, that we can then be able to sift out those voices that are not from you. And when the enemy comes with his words of condemnation and fear and deception, Lord, that we can identify that and recognize that, you know, your word has said that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and that you give us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind and not of fear. And we thank you for that, Lord. Pray too, Father, that we would be able to identify the voice of self, that self-gratification that comes through the voice of ourselves, Lord. And I just pray that we'd be able to resist that in your power and to walk in the power of your spirit and to be overcomers, Lord. Just praise you for the strength and the power that you is available through you working in us. So be with us now, Lord, as we close this service. Ask that you would direct each one of us. And thank you most of all, Lord, for the power of the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us. And thank you for the body of believers that we can fellowship with and draw strength from each other in that way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.